Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Context Machine, episode number 688. I'm Brian Chavin.
Hey, everybody. How'd I do? Oh, by the way, I'm Jeff Gamet.
You did as well as I did.
Sweet. Wait.
Saying much.
Yeah. Well, okay. If you'd rather check out what we have going on without having to hear us go, hey, everybody, go to contextmachine.io. You can find all the stuff there.
I feel like I should be offended, but I just have to nod along and go, yep. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social. By the way, I would like to commend you for not holding me to account for the fact that Blue Sky has the same sort of thing that Mastodon does that I have long made fun of Mastodon for. The contextmachine.bsky.social.
Well, this is how federated things work. But, you know, it didn't occur to me lately to give you a hard time about that. Part of it's pick your battles, but the other part is you got on board and
I didn't get on board with Mastodon.
I got on board with Blue Sky.
Yes, I did get on board. I like Blue Sky.
Yeah, and so this is positive reinforcement. I'm not going to be as petty as I would be.
That's fair.
Well, I was going to pick different words, but sure, let's roll with that.
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, hey, yes. Brian.
Yes. Top men.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. We have a sponsor today. Seriously, though, we do. It's Open Case, which is really cool.
Yeah, I like
that. Yeah, me too.
We're going to tell you more about them later in the show. I would like to start off by mentioning the Kickstarter for the anthology I'm doing with five other sci-fi authors. It's called Neosynthesis. We have hit our funding goal. If you are listening to this and you have backed our project, thank you very much. We have just added a stretch goal. If we hit, I think, £1,500 now, because two of the authors are in...
That's money, people, not weight.
Right. One of our authors lives in England, and another of our authors lives in Ireland. And so they're doing pounds for whatever. Anyway, the point is...
It's because they're not in the EU anymore, so it makes sense.
Yes. And that's about $1,780, give or take a bit, right now. If we can hit that goal, we're going to have an audiobook made, and everyone who pledges one of the main tiers will also get the audiobook if we hit that goal. So I will be recording all of the plan right now is, if we do this, I'll be recording the short stories that have a male point of view. And Jess Stever will be recording the short stories that have a female perspective.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to producing that. I recorded the audiobook for King Liam, my own personal short story. And, and that was a fun process.
And fun to listen to.
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much. So anyway, yeah. Neosynthesis. We've got like a little less than 2 weeks now. I think it's probably more like 10 days as of this recording.
Well, I'm super excited that you hit your launch goal.
Yep.
And the fact that you're now talking about stretch goals, that's super cool.
Yeah, it's nice. It's fun. And as a reminder, if you want a hardback, the only way to get the hardback is through Kickstarter.
All right. Good to know. Yeah. So should I order the paperback or the hardback?
If I'm going to have a physical book, I personally want hardbacks. I'm the one who pushed for the hardback option.
Okay.
But you know, whichever you want.
Yeah. I have to decide. I'm probably getting the hardback.
All right. Thanks.
So this week's show sponsor, oh, wait, there's more stuff, right?
Yes, there is. There is more stuff. We're going to talk about all the new OSs today. Right? iOS 26, iPad OS 26, Mac OS 26, and maybe a bit about Watch OS 26. We have a PSA, though. PSA is essentially for me, which...
Because they all are.
Yes, that's why this show exists. And it's so basically Apple announced back in July. I had no idea until I was offered this option when I ordered a new Apple Watch.
And that, like, it's Top Men.
Yes, because Top Men. And that option is called AppleCare One. And it is a way of bundling up AppleCare for three products for $19.99 a month. Which,
okay.
Yes.
I'm interrupting you.
Yes.
Because I want to give our audience a moment to just let that soak in so they can process that we have gone months now and you are for the first time hearing about.
Oh, wait. Hold on. First of all, fair. But you also weren't really aware of it.
No, that's not true. I've been talking about it on shows for months. And
is this true? I could have sworn that like 30 minutes ago, you were telling me that you didn't know about it.
30 minutes ago, I couldn't remember which month it was announced. And so I had to go and double check that.
Tomato.
Fair. But the PSA that we're sharing now, this is something that I did talk about on podcasts back then, because a few days after AppleCare One was announced, everyone's like, Apple needs to give us some way to be able to actually look at all the numbers and figure out what's the right option, because Apple does not make that easy for you to do.
Right, because some...
Hence our PSA.
For instance, AppleCare on my Apple Watch Ultra 3 is $4.99 a month. Mm-hmm. So $4.99 a month, if I were to, for some weird reason, have three Apple... Well, so maybe me and my extended family have all got Apple Watches, and getting AppleCare on all those would be $15 a month, which is less mm-hmm. than $19.99 a month. But some things are more expensive. For instance, Apple mm-hmm. Vision Pro, it's freaking $24.99 a month. So,
yeah.
So, but bundling AppleCare One for an Apple Vision Pro, that makes sense. But anyway, so you have, courtesy of being on other podcasts, or you... you are aware of a website or two that will let us actually look at the numbers. So tell us about it.
Yeah. Okay. So iCare Calculator, and there will be a link in our show notes.
Yes.
So it's iCare-calculator.versal.app. Just go to just either do a Google search on iCare Calculator or go to our show notes. And when you're there, it's just a website where you pick what devices you have. No, you're not providing any personally identifying information.
Yeah, you're not having to plug in your serial number, so they're not like selling our information.
Right. Yeah. And so then you can put together a list of everything that you want to cover. And it's going to tell you which is the better deal for you, whether you should just do regular AppleCare Plus or if you should do AppleCare One.
Right.
And it's super slick. And I love just how easy it is to do the thing. And you can choose monthly or annual, so you can see the difference in pricing there. And it's great. It gives you everything you need so that you can decide which way you should handle your AppleCare.
Right. That's very useful. So thank you for telling me about it earlier today, and thanks for telling our listeners about it now.
Oh, sure. And I would have told you about it sooner, mm-hmm. except it didn't matter to you yet. So why?
Well, it could have mattered to me because I do have several devices. And I, anyway, yes, that's fair.
Yeah, but, yeah, okay, fair.
All right, so let's start with the iOS 26. I generally speaking, love all these updates. I love the way they look at the very least, and mostly love the various minor changes that have been introduced too.
Yes, I did have to reduce the transparency thing on my iPhone and iPad, which is a trick that I learned on my iPad mini during developer beta.
Okay. And tell us where and why. Tell me where okay. and why.
Okay. So if you're finding that the liquid buttons
yep.
or other interface elements that use the whole liquid interface thing are a little difficult to read.
Yep.
Then if you go into settings, accessibility, and display and text size, turn on reduce transparency. And for me, that made a big difference in readability in the liquid glass interface elements.
Where is this reduced transparency? So you actually have to activate it.
You turn it on
yes.
because it's not on by default.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you made it into accessibility.
Yes. And I
display and text size.
I don't have a slider though. It's got reduced transparency.
So, oh, people, this is what I have to deal with all the time. okay, so you went into accessibility.
Yes.
You selected display yes. and text size.
Yes.
And there should be an option.
There is an option to turn on reduce transparency.
Turn it on.
Yes, and that's it. That's your only option. You can't adjust how much.
No, you just turn it on.
Huh. I see.
If you feel like you need a little bit more of an oomph in that, then you can increase contrast as well, which is another radio button.
Okay, that's fair enough. But I'm going to turn it back off. I like it as it is for me and my background. It works.
Okay. Great. So, but now you have options.
Yep.
And I did reduce transparency and I like the interface better that way.
All right.
I do like that we have kind of a more unified interface.
Yes.
And yeah, that's nice. You know, the accessibility features where you tap on the back of your iPhone to make things happen?
Mm-hmm.
That works much more reliably in iOS 26 for me than
interesting. PC has. Interesting.
Huh. Yeah.
All right. That's good enough.
Yeah. So you have an iPhone 15?
Yeah, 15 Pro.
Okay. So when you look at like your home screen
mm-hmm.
and you have your app icons and you can see the kind of highlight on the upper left-hand corner and the bottom right corner of your icons.
Okay.
What happens if you slowly rotate your phone, like rotate it clockwise, counterclockwise, you're going from portrait to landscape mode. Do those highlights follow on the icons or do they stay in place?
Well, I don't have any chance.
I'm asking because I've had some people tell me, it's so cool how that little highlight on the corner of the icons moves as if it's following the light source as you rotate your phone. And that does not happen for me. And so I'm curious, is that a thing that's really happening? Or is it for some people, they look at that and they just think it's happening?
Where the hell is my control panel? Oh, there it is. Okay. So let me... I've got my iPad because my iPhone is not switching landscape to portrait. It's only staying in portrait. So I'm checking
on my iPhone. It doesn't actually, you don't need the display to change. You just need to rotate your phone to follow the icons.
Yeah, I'm rotating my phone and the... Oh. Wow. Yes. That is cool.
Okay, there you go.
Huh. I'm pretty sure that's a thing. It's super subtle, right?
It's super subtle.
That said, it feels really weird to do that on the iPhone when the iPhone's overall. The iPhone is not switching to a landscape mode.
Right.
Though the iPad does.
Right.
Huh. Yeah, that's one of those little things that Apple does that they that don't, I mean, Apple so often does these super subtle things. They don't talk about it. Maybe someone notices, maybe someone doesn't. It's just there. And that is something that Apple has continued to do well.
Yeah. It's little details like that, they totally nail. They will completely fail to fix a major thing.
Right.
but those little details that make you go, wow, Apple really pays attention.
Yeah.
They've got those.
Right. So one thing that I haven't done is on my Mac, I did choose how the icons were, you know, the color scheme of my
icon. Oh, sure. Okay.
But I haven't done that on iPad, on iPhone. Since we're talking about iOS right now, do you know where I can change that after the fact? So I could have chosen to do that while I was setting up iOS 26. I didn't. So what if I want to now?
If you want to now, what you need to do, like on your home screen,
yeah, sure.
Pick a space that's empty. So okay. you can press and hold on the wallpaper.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
And now you get all the jiggly stuff.
Yep.
Look at the top of your screen for a button that says edit.
Yep. Oh, like that.
And then you can choose customize.
Yes.
And now you get a little pane that pops up so you can choose your icon type.
Right.
So default, dark, clear, and tinted.
Right.
And you can also choose if you have big honkin' icons or regular size icons.
Right. Big honkin' icons without labels.
Right.
Right. Okay, so I've done that now. Yay me. And took a second to populate. Okay, I like this. I will say that it has taken a little bit of getting used to from the standpoint of I used to look for the blue icon for this or that app. Doesn't matter which. You know,
well, that would basically be all the apps because for a long time, everyone just did blue icons.
Okay, that's fair. So my point is that I would use color as my sort of visual clue for going for the known and familiar app icons on my Mac in particular. And I have chosen the dark mode for everything. And that turns a lot of what were blue icons into black icons. And that has taken a little bit getting used to, but I'm sticking with it because I like the overall effect. I love the overall effect. And
okay,
I have just now turned my icons into the dark mode on my iPhone. And I like that too.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I like the interface refresh. I was expecting that I would be indifferent to it on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
because on my iPad, I'm like, yeah, okay, it does have a fresher feel to it. Thank you. But that was it. And on my iPhone, I'm feeling like, okay, yeah, this actually does feel like it makes sense on this device.
Right. I just changed my.
I'm happy with it there.
I just changed my iPad too, and I like it there also. This is. I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I am liking it, and that's mainly because I wasn't worried about it. So my lack of concern about this is rooted more in to my lack of concern about it all along, for what that's worth.
Okay.
But sure. I do like it. One thing I don't like is that my air conditioner controls. So I've got the Eero devices controlling my air conditioner in my home that plugs into HomeKit very well. As a matter of fact, by the way, did you know that Eero, the what do you call the wall things? What's
thermostat?
I had a stroke. Okay, so did you know that the Eero thermostats act as a Siri hub?
The newer ones do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, and they'll also do the A-Lady thing for you too. But yeah, they built in the whole home hub thing.
All right. So anyway, the thing I was whining about though is that rather than when I pull up my thermostat in the home app, I have to tap the whatever setting it's on. For instance, it's off for me right now. In order to change it to cool or heat or auto, I actually have to tap on off and then choose cool, heat, auto, or keep it on off. And before, all four of those options were just available. And I don't know why they would put
another layer. And this is just in the home app, right?
Yeah, this is just in the home app. And this is an incredibly minor whinge, but that seems like a step backwards to put an extra tap into the process.
You know, that's not the only place where there are more taps. There are a few places where I've encountered that. The one that's coming to mind off the top of my head, you know, when you get notifications and you have a long list and you have a bunch of notifications grouped together and you have to tap.
Yep.
And the grouping notifications together on one hand is great, but on the other hand, it does add extra steps.
Right.
And I've noticed now with iOS 26 that I'm having to do even more taps in the grouped notifications before I actually get to the thing, which I thought was really weird.
That's fair. I assume that some of these things will be tweaked. I certainly hope that this issue in the home app, for instance, will be tweaked in a future update. And I also assume that, and it's more likely that the notifications will be refined than the home app will be refined.
Yeah, I think that's very likely.
So anyway, regardless though, aside from some very minor complaints, I really like iOS 26 and iPad OS 26. I love it actually. It is a feel good thing. I think I like it's. I don't know if it's just because it's new or because I like it so much, but it feels fun. It feels new again.
It does feel much newer. I tell you, on my iPad Pro, I feel like for the first time ever, this is a really useful device. which is saying something, because I've always felt like my iPad Pro is a very useful tool, and it's been a content creation device for me for years. But now I feel like it's a much more powerful overall device.
Hmm.
It's just because of the changes to iPadOS 26.
Yeah, I don't think I really use any of those changes, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you don't use your iPad in the same way.
Right, I use don't. Mine. That's very true. I'm using my iPad Pro, very powerful device, as a content consumption device.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Mine is video and image work, and occasionally some audio. Like that. That's how I use my device a lot.
Right. Fair enough. All right. So we should talk about our sponsor. Will you please tell us about OpenCase?
You know, actually, Brian, I would love to do that because I am excited OpenCase is our sponsor. We've both been playing with or using OpenCase for a little while on our phones. And what I found is that we have a case that does the thing where I'm like, why haven't we been able to do this before? Mm. And the why haven't we been able to do it before part is the thing where instead of having to have multiple cases for different uses, I now have one case, and it has a panel on the back that magnetically attaches, and I can swap that piece out and have multiple cases in essence, because I can replace that back piece. So I can put on a piece that holds credit cards and stuff. I can pop that piece off, and you know, when you have the little pop handle things, so that you can hold your iPhone easier, or set it up on a table like it's on a little stand, but you have a better grip on your phone. You can pop one of those panels on. Anyhow, you have multiple choices for what you do to hold your phone, you have multiple choices for the things that you put on the back of your phone to make your case exactly what you want it to be. And you can change it based on whatever your needs are. And I love that I can even just pull the back panel off, and now the MagSafe charger is completely exposed. So I can connect directly to a MagSafe charger. I don't even have to worry about whether or not I'm using a compatible case, because that part of the case isn't even there when I'm doing that. They look nice, they're durable, and they're super flexible, because you can turn it into whatever case you want. So here's the deal. Since iPhone 17 is coming out, I'm thinking this is the MagSafe case that you need for your new iPhones. So what you need to do is go now to theopencase.com. and use the promo code TCM, so you get 10% off. That's theopencase.com. And the promo code again is TCM, so you can get 10% off. And thank you, OpenCase, for being our sponsor.
And TCM code, that stands for the context machine, right?
It does.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we thank OpenCase very much for sponsoring us.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, OpenCase.
Okay, let's move on to macOS 26. And really, a lot of what we've already talked about applies to macOS 26 too. The look and feel is terrific. The dark mode now feels comprehensive and integrated across apps in ways that it didn't before.
Yeah, and I was not expecting to appreciate having the more unified interface across all my devices as much as I am.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do have a couple of whinges. The first whinge is the iTunes Connect icon has not been updated.
The picture you shared. It looks like it's from System 7.
Yeah. So, and to be fair, this that icon is not for the iTunes Connect app. It's for the web app. So basically, I opened a web page and saved it to my dock. So that might be that might even be an issue with the nav icon. But the So Kobo's is this, I've also got Kobo Writing Life. That's their author section. It looks fantastic. So does Google Plays. So does BookBubs. So does Authors Republic. Kindle's has not been updated. It's very pixelated. Barnes & Noble's looks fantastic. But the iTunes Connect one looks like dank butt. Literally.
Which, by the way, is not your rapper name.
It could be. It probably should be. Anyway, so this is an issue. This isn't an issue where Apple failed to update its own app. This is an issue where Apple's failed to update its own fave icon.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, then I'm going to share the problem that I'm having. I think that Mac OS 26 has some big memory leak issues.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm saying that because I have noticed since installing Mac OS Big Lake that I'm having this problem where I will have a cascading thing where one app suddenly gets paused by the OS because it's using too much RAM. Mm-hmm. And then other apps just right after it start following in line. And it's like an app is suddenly using 78 gigs of RAM. Unless you have a crazy buttload of RAM in your computer,
which I do,
you get a couple apps doing that. And pretty soon your Mac's going to notice. And I have not had issues like this before. I think it was yesterday, even after force quitting everything, the memory just would not free up. And finally I had to restart my computer to get back to a usable state.
Did you try using the Clean My Mac
RAM doubler?
No, Clean My Mac's force your memory to clean up thing.
You know, that's a really good suggestion. I will give that a shot. I do have another little utility extreme clean memory.
Yeah.
That I've had for a while and I'll let it do the memory cleanup thing. But I will try Clean My Mac and see what that does. It's funny. I've got it. Why didn't I think to use it?
Well, that's fair. I you know, A, we're old, and B, well, there's just a lot of stuff out there.
And B, you had a stroke.
Yeah, right. That's why you didn't remember it.
Right.
So anyway, regardless, I've only used that feature a couple times, and it worked really well. And I'm trying to remember to use it, even though I've got 126 gigs of RAM. And yeah.
Yeah, and I only have 16, but I have never had memory problems.
Fair enough. I have another. I've got a curious issue where I'm hoping that this is maybe an issue of like things not syncing behind the scenes, but the screen calls in iOS 26 is fantastic. Right?
I have not played with that yet.
Okay. I have. It's lovely. It's fantastic. It works perfectly on my phone. But I've had situations where I've got a spam call coming in on my iPhone, and my iPhone goes, "Yep, get this away. You know, we're not going to ring you. We're not going to bug you." And then my phone and my iPad, or my Mac and my iPad, ring away. So it's
yeah, that's a problem.
It's screening on my iPhone, but it's not screening on my Mac and my iPad. And I thought at first it was because I didn't have my Mac updated, but my iPhone was, and maybe the Mac was sending the signal. You know, but I've since upgraded everything, and that still happens. And that seems less than useful to me.
Yeah, that's less than useful. Yeah. Hey, on a compatibility note, I've had very good luck with compatibility with my apps. And the trick, just like with any OS update, make sure you're running the latest versions of your apps and double check and make sure that they yes. are compatible with the new operating system.
Yes.
And what I found across the board is that the apps that I rely on, except for one, had updates out that weren't even beta. They were like regular releases. So like all the Rogue Amoeba apps.
Yeah.
And
Rogue Amoeba is a great company.
Yes. Super Duper, Carbon Copy Cloner. So my backup apps, those were ready to go ahead of time. Wacom, they have apps that their drivers have been updated. The one place that I had to go and find a beta was for Ice, which is my menu bar, bartender replacement.
Okay.
So anyhow, I've been very pleased with compatibility with this update.
Yes, I have to, another tip. I think I may have actually turned this on, either that it was already on during setup for Mac OS 26. But the pension of Tahoe to automatically try to make every freaking window full screen was driving me bananas. And and then you who was it that helped me do that? That was Jeff Butts.
Yeah, Jeff Butts pointed out the setting.
Yes.
Which
there is a setting for to keep your Mac from doing this. It is under desktop and dock. And mm-hmm. you simply turn off the drag windows to left or right edges of screen to tile. Turn that off. Turn off drag windows to menu bar to fill screen. Turn that off. And then hold option key while dragging windows to tile. Turn that off and turn off tiled windows have margins. And what that if you like full screen windows, first of all, what's wrong with you? no, I'm kidding. I feel like that is in large part. I'm privileged. I've got two freaking Apple Studio displays right in front of me. These huge windows. I do not want those full screen ever. Right. And that's a privileged yep. position to be in. If you've got a smaller screen, or if you come for the Windows world and you just have stuck with full screen because that's what you've always known, that's fine. You do you. But if you are a sane person who likes to not have all your windows full screen, turn that off and you'll thank me.
Yes. And that setting applies in Mac OS Tall Trees as well. It's not a new feature this year. We got it last year.
But I think it's handling it different.
Because no, it's handling it the same.
Something changed for me, dude. Something changed for me.
The setting probably got re-enabled for you somehow.
No, I actually, okay. What was going on is that I would drag windows up to the top of the screen and it would, in fact, try to make it full screen when I would drag something to the top of my screen. Mm-hmm. But now mm-hmm. if I had the temerity to move any app screen period, it would automatically go full top to bottom every time. That's different behavior. It's different behavior. It's the same setting, and I wish I turned it off in Sequoia, which Jeff calls Tall Trees, but I didn't, Sequoia, and I've got it off now, and now I'm much happier.
Excellent. I'm glad you're happy.
All right. So I know that you've got another show to whore on. And
podcast and podcast and love to do some podcasting.
So I will simply say that watchOS 26 is also good.
You know, watchOS 26, the only real difference that I'm noticing is on the lock screen, the keypad buttons.
Yeah, that's where the prettier. That's where the glass shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. I haven't really noticed a lot of things, but the way that icons sit on top of the black background is different and aesthetically more pleasing to me.
Okay.
And there are also some interface changes, like in the workout app. Things are just kind of presented a little bit differently. And I'm assuming.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
I'm assuming there's more stuff like that where things are just presented a little bit differently. But by and large, the changes for watchOS 26 have been relatively muted compared to iOS 26, iPadOS 26, and macOS 26.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So. All right. So that Jeff can get his sheets time in. I'm going to hell. I will say, let's see what. No, first of all, I'm going to. And then say that's this week's Apple Context Machine. No, it's. That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, had, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Muscle memory is. Is a beast. Our bandwidth is
provided by a stroke.
Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom. Recorded just for the show, and that's all for this week.
Also, thank you, OpenCase, for being our sponsor. Head over to theopencase.com and use our code TCM to get 10% off your case. Thank you, OpenCase, for being our sponsor.
Yes, thank you very much, OpenCase. Definitely check them out. And on that note...